Tanya and Steve, number one in Newcastle with McDonald Jones, the Hunter's leading home builder.
Live from the greatest city in the world, this is Tanya and Steve.
We get up, we get dressed, waking up, Newcastle's best, live and free, Triple M.
Morning, Tanya.
Hello, Risey. Hello, Nikki.
Hello, morning.
No, sorry, people, there is no Steve today. Look, it's early, I can tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Didn't get much sleep last night. He had multiple partners in the bed. And I'm not just talking Baxter.
Yep.
I know you think I'm talking about, oh, she just means Baxter and the love interest. No. There were three men and two women.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Actually, no. There was three men and one woman because Deanna wasn't there.
Look, I know it's early, but I still don't think this can air, but continue.
Hamish from the newsroom is looking at us like he's very intrigued what's going on.
Now this is where I pour cold water on you, Hamish.
Okay.
Because the love interest is away, and so Steve is puppy sitting.
Yes.
So he had three dogs in the bed last night.
Insane.
Did not get any sleep. Can you, honestly, and like we're talking big dogs here.
Yep.
Who's crazy enough to allow three dogs in the bed?
I saw on his Instagram yesterday, he opened the door to the three dogs.
I did too.
It would have done my head in.
Oh, I was like,
you guys are dogs are too big to be running down my hallway.
Yeah, and you've got a big hallway. He doesn't.
Exactly. I've been into his house.
But I was thinking this morning, because honestly, he did not get any sleep.
Yep.
I was thinking, how many dogs do you do? Because there'd probably be more than three in some people's beds.
1-3-3-5-3. If you've got more than three.
Let us know.
I doubt it.
Can you beat Steve?
Can you beat Steve with three dogs looking after three dogs? And like you said, not like there's not little fluffy dogs.
No.
Easy dogs that you can all pick up. They're like 40, 50 kilo dogs.
I know. The third one, Bear, yeah. Cutie, like a cavoodle.
Yeah.
But the other two, Baxter and, is it Bandy, Brady, Barn? I can't remember.
You're good with names. But I know. Yeah, so but it's another boxer, isn't it?
No, it's a smaller, but almost as muscular and large,
yes.
You know what I mean?
Looks a bit similar.
But yeah, how many dogs, excuse me, how many dogs do you do? Is there anyone that can actually beat three dogs in the bed last night?
One's enough for me.
I don't think so. This is what my point is.
1-3-3-5-3. If you had more than three dogs in your bed, give us a call right now. Oh, the phones are ringing, Danielle. 1-3-3-5-3. If you had more than three dogs, I've got one dog, and I think one dog's
kind
of hard
enough.
Yeah, but
you don't let Molly in the bed.
No, she's on the ground
next
to the bed.
You're dreadful.
Yep. What about you? How many is the most that you've done in your time?
Because
you're
a massive dog lover. I used to have two cavies that would sleep on the end of the bed with Mike and I. and in winter they would inevitably crawl under the sheets, that is. I do not believe you, Simon at Maitland. Tell me that you are having me on.
No, unfortunately I'm not. So it's not me in the bed, just the wife and the eight dogs. I've been kicked to the spare room.
Oh, eight dogs.
Eight? What kind of dogs?
Little dachshunds.
Oh, cute.
Oh, my God. It's like she's having a sausage sizzle every night.
Yeah, without a husband.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
We got one pregnant at the moment, if you're interested, Tanya.
You know what? You can retire on what you can sell those puppies for. It's going through the roof, dog prices.
Yeah, thank you, COVID.
Yeah,
definitely.
How much do you reckon you'll get for the puppies?
We get between $4,500 and $6,500.
$1,000.
Yeah, certainly not rupees.
And how many in a litter?
Between 4 and 6, generally.
Oh, my God.
$20 grand easy.
Wow, Simon. Have any of them been pre-bought, pre-sold?
Not at the moment, but they generally are.
Wow.
Okay.
Well,
We do the specialty colours.
What's that mean?
Oh, the dapples and the piebalds.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
That's why you can charge so much. Well, I wouldn't mind sleeping in the spare room if I knew I was sort of birthing thousands of dollars.
Exactly. It's like you're working in the spare bedroom.
Absolutely. Well done, you.
No worries.
All right, good on you, Simon.
Have a great day. Wow. Simon at Maitland there. Eight dachshunds in the bed with his wife.
Incredible.
Didn't you know that much? Almost $6,000.
Yeah,
for
I knew
one.
They were expensive.
That's crazy. All right. Well, Steve, what are you doing? Get to work, mate. Tanya and Steve. Triple Angle Morning.
Now, I don't know about the rest of you, when you go to work, what's the first thing your co-workers say to you?
Oh, no.
But if you ever were in doubt as to how close this little team in here are Nikki has no idea because she wasn't privy to this earlier, Nick. But when Risey and I walked into the studio earlier, he turned to me. Now, this is after not saying a word. We were both engrossed in our own separate preparations for the show.
We were.
And he goes, hey, T. And I looked up and he goes, my balls feel great today.
I went,
really? Thank you for sharing. Now, I can say that because, as everyone knows, he's had a vasectomy recently.
Yes.
And things didn't go quite to plan.
No.
And the reason, you were just so overjoyed that that's a part of you that you no longer have to consider.
And
because it's
be
all
honest,
better.
Exactly. And let's be honest, you've asked about him a few times.
I have.
I was going to call her out there, Risey. You have checked on them daily.
Because I care.
You do. You're a very caring co-worker.
Yeah. That's all it is.
And I wanted you to know.
And thank you.
Today's the best day I've felt in 3 weeks.
That's wonderful. And for everybody worried about Risey's downstairs, it's all good.
What do you send someone, like, you know how someone has a surgery and you send them something like a present? What do you send someone who's just had a vasectomy?
Well,
Tanya
got
whoopee
me
cushion.
Well, Tanya got me vasectomy cookies, remember?
I do.
That was pretty good.
That's true.
I've cared the whole way through this journey.
You've been there.
You can't say I'm Johnny come lately.
You've been there from day one, since wanting to actually do the procedure
yourself.
To
the cookies.
To asking how I'm going post-surgery.
There
Thank you.
It's
such
a weird mix of sweet and disgusting.
Hey, yesterday on the show, we were talking about how long you're waiting for parcels to arrive.
Yes.
With everybody online shopping, being in lockdown, etc.
Yep.
And then we took a call from Alyssa. Have a listen.
I'm waiting on a Turkish rug.
How long?
I've been waiting 22 years.
Oh, my God. Was it expensive?
Well, it probably was. We were backpacking around and we put all our money together. I think it ended up being about a $600 rug.
Wow.
But, you know, the guy that sold to us was very convincing that it would make it to Australia.
I bet he was. Whereabouts? Can you remember where you were at the time ordering this rug?
Yeah, which is really funny. We were in Santorini and we had been out drinking that night.
And
see, she'd been drinking. And it got us thinking with, you know, people being in lockdown, not being able to go to work, maybe having a few extra wines, jumping online and making those beer goggle buys. And that's what we want to hear from. If you've made a beer goggle buy when you've had a few and thought the next morning, oh, my God, why did I buy that?
What did I purchase last night?
Maybe even something has turned up and you don't remember ordering it.
A few days later, like, you're going, what did I do? Okay, 133353, give us a call. The big goggle buys you bought online that you kind of like don't really remember.
I wish Steve was here for this because, see, he's been my inspiration for this topic. He has discovered Catch. Right?
Yes, he's talking about it every day.
I know, every day he comes in over the last, I think it's about 4 to 5 weeks.
Yep.
And because he might have had maybe a few too many milkshakes, he has been buying the next morning, finding out when he checks his credit card receipt, oh my God, I've bought another Lego for $500. That's a true story, is it, Ryze?
100% true story.
So he's the inspiration for this topic today. The beer goggle buys, what have you bought when you've had a few too many?
Give us a call, 133353. We'd love to talk to you right now. Are you going to put your hand up here? You know,
look, years ago, I did buy this dumb thing that never saw the light of day. It was one of those choppers that can make pretty things with your cucumber and turn your carrots into swirls. But it wasn't that expensive. I think it was like $40. Still, stupid buy.
Yeah, have you ever used it? Have you ever been used before?
Who cares how their cucumber gets chopped up?
Exactly.
In all honesty, the home.
I've got one of those. We use it all the time.
Oh, do you?
We do.
Sorry.
That's all right. I don't take any offense to it. No, it's all right.
Why do you do that?
Because it's heaps easier to, you just put the cucumber in.
Yeah.
And you just,
I know.
Or the zucchini.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier than going, chopping it.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for dissing you.
I did cut my finger on it though, so so that's not good. But
that's the only one. What about you?
Never.
No.
Because I'm not very, like with Steve, before this lockdown, Steve, I don't think had ever online shopped before.
No, I know.
So I'm kind of, I'm still, I don't trust that it'll turn up in my house.
Well, Sharon is at Merrillville. Sharon, what have you been buying with your beer goggles on?
Well, not really with beer goggles on. I think maybe stupidity more than anything else. You know how I like to buy yarn because I like to crochet.
She's made me a knee rug. She made Steve a scarf.
What I did was I loved this colour wool, and there was five balls of it, and I thought they were just one ball, so I bought 10 balls of this wool. So when this box turned up, Tony said, what have you ordered? And in it was 10 packs. But each pack had 5 balls of wool in it.
50 balls of the same colour.
Of the same colour.
What colour was it?
It's actually called petroleum blue.
It's not the one you made my knee rug out of.
No, that was grey. So if you like petroleum blue, I could make you a cover for every bed in your house.
You'll get through it one day, Shaz.
Yeah, then when I looked at the price, it was $125.
Oh, Sharon. Oh, well. Thank you.
Oh, well.
If you get a petroleum blue picnic rug or something off Sharon, it's just for Christmas. It's not because she wants to. She's just trying to get you through all the wool. Thank you, Shaz.
Thanks, Shaz. Megan.
Hey, how are you?
Really well. Have you had a big goggle buy?
Oh, my God, yes. It's actually so funny that you guys said that because I was at work yesterday and I got a notification that I had a delivery delivered. And I was like, I don't remember bloody buying anything. So I went home and there was this massive box. And I was like, oh, my God, what could it be? So I've opened it and there's 5 pairs of shoes that I've just randomly bought. And it's not even something that I even buy. And I had a look at the date that I purchased them, and it was the night that I went to a friend's house and got absolutely pissed. And I was like, I'm trying them all on, and I was like, oh, my God, I think I need to return these because it's something that I do not buy.
Megan, how much did all this cost?
It actually came to about $120.
Oh, bargain.
Oh, yeah, 5 pairs.
So easy. I'm a drunk bargain shopper, so.
Well done, you. I'm impressed. You can flog those off on Marketplace and make a fortune.
Well, look, it depends. Well, I could give it a shot.
Yeah.
Wow.
5 pairs of shoes. You little drunken thing, you.
I know. And I was like, this is ridiculous. I was like, what else do I buy when I'm drunk?
Our computers should come with an RBT.
100%.
Sharon.
Yes.
Another one. What have you done with big ogle buys?
Well, I decided I was trolling across Facebook after a few adult beverages.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, weight loss stickers. You put them on your tummy. Oh, this sounds like a good idea. We'll buy some of those.
What do you mean? You put stickers on your tummy?
Yeah. They're a bit like big plaster strip things, and you put them on your stomach. They're like, they had a hole in it where your belly button goes. And you put them on and you have them on for 24 hours. And the worst part about it was the next day, it ripped like plaster trying to get it off. All the sticky stayed on your stomach, so you had to get some metho and rub to get the sticky off.
Sharon.
And I don't even know if they work because I only ever used one.
Oh, my God. So this thing, this product, is supposedly you stick it on your stomach and some magical way you're supposed to lose weight from it?
Yes.
You must have been very drunk,
you
Sharon.
Must have been.
I wouldn't say how many alcoholic beverages I had. Because I didn't even remember until they turned up. I thought, oh, God, what have I bought this shop?
Oh, my God. It's a thing. I actually didn't know it was a thing. Big goggle bone.
You don't have to buy stickers. You just wrap yourself in cling wrap.
Yeah, there you go. We'll wrap it up with Lisa here, too.
Hello, Lisa. Big goggle buy. What did you do?
I think I might actually have the... I was really, really homesick when I first moved here into Australia, and I had lived in Bermuda before we came here.
Yeah.
And I got on eBay one night in my husband's account and had drunk a couple of bottles of wine, and I found an ad for a scooter that was a pink scooter airbrushed with silver flames with a little custom-made suede seat. And the title of the sale ad was Pink and Pimped Racing Steed. And I went, oh my God, that is my motorbike. But I didn't even have a motorbike license here.
You win, Lisa.
Oh my God. Did you buy it seriously?
I absolutely did. And my husband had to come with me to this gentleman's house in Adamstown to pick it up the next morning and ride it home. And people were waving at him and beeping. And it was the most... I had a ball, but he was so embarrassed. And I kept it for years until I got hit in the roundabout at Wall's End. One of... I work in a public facility, and one of our own staff members drove over the top of me and took out my bike.
Oh, Lisa, thank God you're okay, but oh, fare thee well to what
the pink
sounds
and the pimp
like
scooter, the, yeah.
Pimp, yes.
The pink and pimped racing, Steve.
Oh,
she
wow.
was. We lived a good life until we got hit in the roundabout.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Oh, wow.
Oh, she wins.
Yeah,
that
100%.
Is, I mean, a pair of shoes, some balls of wool, a pink scooter.
You don't even have a bike license.
Hey, we like to keep you abreast of what's going on in our little work family. You know, Nikki's pregnant.
Yep.
You know, Razi's testicles are just fine these days, which is good news. But the other bit of good news, I don't think we've even told people that Nick took out a loan for $7 million to buy a postage stamp. So that's really awesome. We're happy that they've bought their first home.
Yes, I was going to say, AKA bought a house and, still hurting. But yeah. Yes.
But you're about to move in. It's about 3 weeks now?
Yeah, in about 3 weeks' time. And, I came to you this morning.
She has a dilemma.
Yeah.
And I thought, let's throw it out to our Triple M family.
Absolutely.
See what you guys think.
It's beautiful. Because keep in mind, I've been in an apartment up until now.
Yeah.
So this is officially a house with neighbours, which is new for me on my own or with Jacob. And yesterday we had a discussion. Should we go and knock on the neighbour's door when we move in and go introduce ourselves, take a bottle of wine and say, g'day,
See, for those new to Nick, she thinks she's living in Leave It to Beaver or a little bit later, because I never saw that either, Bewitched.
Yep.
When people did that sort of stuff, take things to their
neighbours.
Desperate Housewives.
Great.
There's a 90s version.
So you don't, so it doesn't happen at all?
I don't know. I didn't go giving my neighbours bottles of wine when I arrived. Hello, I've arrived.
I've arrived in the neighbourhood.
That's the other thing. Do you do bottles of wine? How do you know if they're a drinker? I don't know.
Yeah.
What do they drink? It's so stressful.
Next, she'll be baking baskets of muffins. But it is a damn good question. Do you introduce yourself to the neighbours?
Yeah.
Like Nick wants to herald her arrival.
Yeah.
Or does it happen naturally? You know, you finally see someone out by the mailbox or when you're coming in with the groceries.
Yes.
That was kind of more our vibe.
Right.
Same.
You just sort of let it happen.
More natural.
Yeah, organically.
Okay.
Rather than dolling up and tottering up with your apron on and your basket of muffins like Little Red Riding Hood.
In a pair of heels.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think the more informal catch up of the neighbours is definitely the way to go.
Yeah.
Well, I was the same.
I do too.
It's just like, oh, hey, I haven't met you yet. My name's blah, blah, blah. I've got...
You know, do you just start, because, okay, you're going to be moving in and stuff happening. Don't you want to get on the right foot with them, though, and just, you know, start with a bang and then, you know what I mean?
It's interesting because when we did the year in the apartment in town when we were building the place in Hamilton, the neighbours, there was four neighbours, we're in an apartment building with five apartments.
Yep.
So the neighbours in the other four, they put on a cocktail party for us.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it was really sweet. So we could meet the neighbours.
Yeah, beautiful.
So maybe you're onto something.
I like that.
Give us a ring and let us know. Are you, or have you, announced your arrival, like Nick is wanting
to do,
with presents? Or has someone done that to you when they've moved in?
Yeah.
Popped over with a bottle of wine or something, a gift?
Yeah, 133353. We'd love to talk to you. And how did you feel? How did it make you feel? Would you feel a little bit trapped, like now you have to be, like, you know, super friendly to Nikki? Not that you wouldn't be friendly if you were a neighbour anyway, but how would you feel? Would you like, was that strange or is that nice?
I'd actually think it would be nice.
Yeah.
As much as I'm ripping her off, I think it'd be really sweet.
Yeah.
If someone either moved in or, you know what I mean, and sort of said, hi, I'm your neighbour, here's a bottle of wine, or we probably should do it the other way, giving them the present for moving in.
True.
I don't know.
And it does start you off on the right foot, you know. It does go, wow, they're a really nice couple. Mark's giving us a call straight away, Tanya.
Hey, Mark, what happened with your neighbours?
Morning, guys. So the morning that we were moving in, one of our neighbours actually came in with... like he came in with cups of coffee and stuff for us. Like he bought us breakfast.
That's lovely.
While we're waiting for the removalist truck to arrive. And then once the removalist truck left, and they on the other side came in with a six pack of beers and had some beers.
Oh my
god, that's pretty good.
Are you mates still?
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet
they're good neighbours.
Yeah. That's really starting off on the right foot, isn't it?
Yeah. But we had the dilemma. Oh, do we go in and see him? What do we do? No.
They took it off your hands because they were the ones that approached you. That's probably the way to do it.
Yeah.
Your neighbours come to the new people moving in.
True.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Mark.
We'll go to Catherine here, T.
Catherine, what happened when you moved in?
Yeah, look, it was a long time ago, but when my kids were young, we moved into Thornton and we're putting the kids' beds together, you know, just getting set up. And this child comes out of nowhere, straight into the house and goes, hop out of the way, I'm trying to come through. It was a neighbour's child, and because she'd known the previous neighbour so well, she was just like, and we're lifelong friends forever after that.
Oh, isn't that gorgeous?
So, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So stopping short of helping yourself to your fridge, I bet.
Eventually.
Yeah. Thanks, Catherine.
Thanks, Catherine.
And Jackie at Weston, we'll wrap it up with Jack.
Hey, Jack, what happened when you moved in?
Okay, you guys know my neighbour, Jane from Weston. When I moved in, the removalists were here. She came over with a great big container. It was pre-cooked taco mince, lettuce, grated cheese, tacos, everything, so that I could actually have a meal the first night.
Oh, that's excellent. And are you friends to this day?
Yes, yes. Jane and I get on pretty well. So I've been here 2 years.
That's lovely.
That's brilliant.
Are you getting some ideas from this, Nick?
I love it.
Thanks,
yeah.
Jackie.
I haven't heard a bad answer there, so I think I'm gonna go for it.
But you know
it.
What we've heard though? Mm. People come to you. Rather than you make the muffins and go to them. So you have to wait until they come to you.
Oh, what if they never come?
Well, the word is out. It probably won't.
Great.
No, but if you want to, I think it's really sweet.
Yeah.
Why don't we bring back our beautiful bastards?
Oh, the cookies that, well, I'll explain, everybody. Cookies that Tanya and Nikki wanted to go into business and make them and call them beautiful bastards.
Spelled B-O-O-O-T-I-F-U-L.
Beautiful.
I felt
beautiful.
I had to explain.
Thank you, Rosie. Yeah.
Cookies.
How amazing were they, though?
They were really good.
Yeah.
Super good.
I only came up with the name. Nick had to do all the cooking.
I did the packaging design, the cooking, and the selling.
I just did the name and posed for the photo.
And plug on the radio.
Do them. Your neighbours will love you. Because they are very good.
Yeah, they are very good. I just don't know if we might need to change up the photo on the front. It could scare them.
Oh, you've got a decision to make anyway, Nick. Anyway.
Lots of time to think about it.
I'm blown away. This is one of those mind-blown things. It's just popped, and I haven't mentioned it to you guys because I'm curious to see where you sit on it first. There's a story around today saying one in three of us do not wash underwear that we purchase from the shop before we wear it.
Well, there's three people in the studio right now.
And what that means is two in three pre-wash everything before they wear it.
Okay.
Nikki?
Yep, I wash everything before I wear it.
Risey?
100% no. It's like, it's new. It's brand new. You don't have to wash it. It's fine to just wear it straight away.
And I don't wash it either.
So that's two out of three.
Disgusting.
Well, I'm blown away. I hadn't thought about it before.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
Because think about it. I mean, like, for things like swimmers, you try them on and, yes, it says wear your undies underneath. But how many people do that, I wonder?
Oh, God, I'm assuming everybody does.
Well, I don't assume. I double check.
But they have the plastic in the bottom of the swimmers.
What do you think that's going to protect from? That little thing that gets stuck to your finger when you take it.
Ew. Stop.
Disgusting.
Anyway.
All right. But swimmers, let's leave that alone for a second. Because undies, I never thought about it, but what Nick says is what they talk about in the article.
Yep.
You can get all sorts of skin irritations. You could even get mastitis when you try on a bra someone else has tried on. And the disgusting things that can happen trying undies on or wearing undies without pre-washing them because of who's had them on before you. It's turned my stomach. But see, when I buy undies, Nick, I always go to the very back of the rack.
Mm-hmm.
That'll
and so does
you.
Everyone else.
Yeah, everyone just put them back at the back of the rack.
And Risey, in his defence, he only buys his undies in packs of 20.
True, yours actually are.
Yeah, okay. Mine are fine because I buy the cheap ones.
Yeah.
They're just stocked in the plastic.
But even like normal outfits, don't you give them a wash because people have been handling them at the shops and whatnot?
That's the weird bit. I will wash a jumper or a pair of jeans.
What?
But I've never thought that people actually try on undies. Do they try them on?
Well,
I reckon they would.
Yeah. Oh, that's... I want to take mine off right now.
Especially the old cheeky kind of... they go right up there as
Ew.
Well.
Ew.
And what happened?
Yeah. I feel violated.
You don't always pick the right size first go. I just think you definitely need to wash those.
Oh, look, I have some weird habits, and one of them is I only wear a certain brand of underwear.
Mm.
So...
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm really weird like that.
Yep.
I cottoned onto this brand about 4 years ago. It's all I buy. So, and I never need to try it on. So I know my size and away I go.
this is coming from the woman who puts a plastic cap over a remote and you don't wash underwear.
I didn't think that other people would try it on.
When you're in a hotel room, you put your bag in the bathtub to make sure there's no bed bugs crawl in it.
Yeah, well, I feel disgusting. I need a shower.
Go home and have a shower now, Tanya.
Burn your underwear drawer.
I've learnt something.
Yeah. Mm.
Well done, Nick.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a mum thing. She always told me to do that. So thank you, Mum.
I blame mine then for not telling me to do it.
Now.
Hey, yesterday we were talking about things we were waiting on to be delivered.
Yep.
And the one that stands out, we've already talked about it today too, is Alyssa waiting on that rug, Turkish rug, 22 years.
Yes.
Yeah, well, let's be honest. She was drunk and she was shopping at a market in Turkey and was hoping that the guy that she paid her $600 to would eventually send it to her.
Exactly. But we had a lot of other people waiting like 12 months, 15 months, 18 months for postage.
So we thought, gearing that it's coming to that time of year when we'll all be shopping and hopefully getting prezzies from our loved ones, how are Australia Post doing? Mm. Colin Hindle is the head of National Network Implementation for Australia Post. It sounds like he should be in an office in Canberra, but he's right here in the Hunter. G'day, Cole.
Hey, Tanya, how are you?
I'm really well. So you must be, you must have turned grey overnight in the last few weeks because it's just crazy, isn't it, for you guys?
I'd like to blame that, but I think it's just old age.
How's it going?
It is crazy. It is. Like you said, I don't know if we could help find the Turkish rug, but it is, the volumes are just out of this. Anything that I've seen in 28 years, I've never seen anything like this we're going through now.
Well, that's the thing, because you have been through so many changes. You know, the implementation of people being able to shop online with the internet, you've been through all that. So, and we've had like massive sales in the past, but nothing like you've seen this time around?
Nothing like, I know we're coming in and everyone's gearing up and we're coming out of lockdown and we're getting ready for the cyber sales, but we're already breaking those delivered volumes and that's become the new norm. So looking at Christmas last year, which was Australia Post, that was our biggest month in history, was 52 million parcels and we're gearing up for that, breaking that record and, exceeding it this Christmas.
Wow.
That's insane.
Now, when we were texting yesterday, you were saying you had to bring up how many drivers from Sydney just to keep up with our volume here?
Yeah, so we had 100. We've got 160 roughly parcel drivers that service the Newcastle catchment. We had to bring up 50. Now, we didn't want any tree lopper situation, so we had to go through all the COVID regulations the vax regulations to make sure they had all that before they came up to complement what new people were doing, and that was shopping online.
Unbelievable. Wow. Unbelievable. So where are we at? Like, is there a lag time, firstly?
There is congestion in the network. I'm not going to say there's not, because what we're seeing, and I'll give you an example of Newcastle just alone, in September, they had a 60 to 80% increase on last year. So 650,000 parcels came through our local parcel centre just for September in Newcastle.
Oh, my God.
So working with that, you've got to then abide by all the COVID restrictions, and then you put zoning and waves in. So then if Cole Hindle goes down as a close contact, we don't lose 150 drivers, we only lose potentially 20.
Right.
It just compounds everything. So we were seeing some delays and some days delays in product that we're still working through, to be honest.
Yeah.
We're still working through that, and the wave of parcels is still coming.
So when we're looking at, just say you want to send, I might want to send something up to my boy because I don't think Anastasia Palaszczuk is going to open the borders. if I want to get that to him for Christmas, when are you guys suggesting we start sending packages in time to get there?
Now, look, the official dates will be coming up on the Australia Post website very soon, and we're working through that, because exactly what you said, we're very driven by the borders.
Yeah.
So this year I'd be encouraging everyone to prepare early, particularly if you're sending or trying to buy a sale overseas because of the restricted or the shortage of aircraft.
Yep.
And one I would call out internationally, just recently the USPS or US Parcel Service has temporarily suspended parcel service to a number of countries, which includes Australia. So if you are buying something from the US or have, I would just jump on our website to get an update about the USPS, because they have suspended due to air freight capacity.
Wow.
So that is a big impact on any postal service. Your domestic flights, which we use a lot of the bellies for our product, and then international.
Okay, so if anyone...
So I would send as soon as you can.
Rightio. And go. So are we still able to send stuff to, say, the UK or Europe, forget US at the moment, or Ireland, or not sure, Cole?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Okay. And Australia Post is accepting all inbound.
Oh.
So all inbound international deliveries, it's just the USPS.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, due to the freight capacity, made that decision.
Hey, so if you've employed 50 extra drivers over the last few weeks, brought them online, what about the handlers, like the ones that are behind the scenes sorting? Have you had to employ extras there as well?
100%. We're putting on 3,300 Christmas casuals across the country. Already in Newcastle, we've started 60 casuals. And as you can appreciate, that is a big logistics task in itself. But again, we're still looking for people to deliver parcels, process the mail, assist with customer inquiries, as you can expect.
Yep. All right.
And really, from the parcel sorting, there's no experience necessary. So I encourage anyone to jump online to the AusPost website, because we are picking up thousands of people to help us through this period and then look at what the new norm is when we all do come out of lockdown.
Excellent.
What does happen to online shopping.
Yeah. Interesting stuff, Cole. Thanks for the heads up. Appreciate it.
No, thanks for the chat.
You take care. There's Colin Hindle. He is the head of National Network Implementation and Australia Post.
If you're looking for a job, not a bad idea
AusPost. You've got four kids, Rise.
Yeah.
You can finish here at lunchtime and zip on over.
I actually might have to. I've seen Oscar's Christmas list already, which he's already written, and I actually might have to do that. I'll get in touch after the show, Colin. It's Tanya and Steve, Triple M.
Start your day off with Tanya and Steve and get an extra $45,000 off your dream McDonald Jones home. Only for a limited time. Discover more at mcdonaldjoneshomes.com.au.
Triple M's.
Oh, this is the segment I call ovaries aching, because it makes you want to have a child again if you haven't already got one.
Yes. My son, Oscar, I was telling you, you and Steve yesterday, that he's pretty obsessed with YouTube at the moment and watching, I don't know if he's a little bit sick and twisted, but he's into watching like natural disasters.
Well, he is your son. Yeah.
Fair call. Like tornadoes, avalanches, and he's loving, he loves watching.
How old is he?
Five.
Yeah.
And tsunamis as well are his like favourite thing to watch at the moment.
Okay.
I know, it's weird. We stop at the really severe ones.
Yeah,
you know
good.
I mean.
Just good.
Yeah, if you know what I mean. But yeah, there's one little issue with tsunamis, and no matter how many times I say, oh, tsunami this, tsunami that, he's having a bit of an issue. I don't know if you can pick it up. I had a bit of a conversation with him.
Let me hear.
Okay.
What are the big waves called?
Tsunamis.
Yeah, right. And what?
Tsunamis can go on land.
What, they go from the ocean all the way to the land?
Yeah. And also, me and Stella saw on TV that tsunamis have gone in Japan.
Really?
Me and Stella watched. Tsunamis, they can go where buildings are. They can smash a house. They can even smash glass.
You serious?
Yeah, but I'm serious.
Salamis are pretty dangerous, Tanya.
Oh, that is so adorable.
Yeah. So, no matter how many times I say tsunami.
Don't correct him.
Lucy, my wife, says, don't correct him. No, it's so cute. He's got to know.
Nah, it's time to know. There's time to be a gorgeous, adorable kid that I want to steal.
Anyway, salamis, they're pretty dangerous salamis, Tanya.
You know, little things occupy my brain occasionally. And one of the things that occupied a rather large percentage of thinking time last Sunday was why do we get itches? Now, there's only one man that we can turn to answer this question, and that is Adam Spencer, the Ambassador for Maths and Science at University of Sydney. Hello, Adam.
Hey, how are you, Tanya? Look, I'm really sorry that Steve's not here this morning, but finally you and I can just have an intellectual conversation.
I agree.
That'll get back.
It will. I'll tell him.
Look, I know enough from doing breakfast radio that when you take a day off sick, mate, you don't wake up and listen to the show. No offence. I can assure you.
Hey, Adam, last Sunday I was on the back of Dwayne. Now, you might wonder, who is Dwayne? Well, that's
good luck to Dwayne.
Dwayne is the name of our motorbike. My husband and I have a motorbike because I love The Rock and I like to ride Dwayne.
He's very broad-minded, your husband. That's
anyway, so we were on the motorbike last Sunday going for a little, in our LGA, I might add, just over to Stockton and back.
Yep.
And at one point, my nose started itching, like crazy itch, scratchy nose. Obviously, with a helmet on and motorbike gloves, there's no way I could have itched it. So I spent about 10, 12 minutes willing this itch to go away. And then when it did go away, I thought, well, why the hell were you itchy in the first place? And of course, I thought of you.
Yes.
Sorry, you got itchy and you thought of me.
You're that itch I can't scratch, Adam. There we're both go. Happily okay. married.
Okay, let's have a look at the whole concept of itches and scratches and things like that. I'll start by saying, Tanya, I'm not a qualified doctor, so I'm not giving qualified medical advice. If anyone's listening at the moment and they hear us cracking a couple of gags, go, oh, good, I thought I was having an extreme allergic reaction, but I'm fine now. No, no, no.
No.
But, okay, we used to think that an itch was pretty much a version of pain. We used to think itch was sort of pain's irritating little brother, you know, so, oh, yeah, what are you going to do about it? We used to think they were the same thing. But as we learned more and more about the skin at a cellular level, we worked out itch and pain are actually separate processes, and itch travels through a different network of cells to what pain does. What happens is just say when you get bitten by a mosquito. Now, I always thought a mosquito bite itched because the mosquito's nose, the proboscis, broke your skin.
Yeah.
That's enough to be pretty irritating. It turns out, in fact, the itching sensation is caused because the female mosquito leaves saliva in you. So she doesn't just bite you, she spits in you. And it's the saliva that your skin cells sense and go, that's unusual, that's not meant to be here. And that sets off the itch response. So when your body detects anything foreign on your skin, a chemical or a substance that shouldn't be there, like that mosquito saliva, the skin cells talk to your nearby immune cells and go, hey, is it just me? Or is this like, there's something a bit weird going on here? The immune cells go and check it out and hit it with things like histamines or serotonins or whatever. And it's when that happens, your body has sent a process to your spine, up to your brain going, yeah, there's something going on here. And that's when you get the itch sensation. So it's sort of a warning system from your body that it senses something unusual going on the skin, and it's often some chemical or substance that wouldn't normally be there. In the case of you under the helmet, it could just be that you're sweating in an awkward position and you've got a little bit of bacteria that you sweated down over a part of your skin where it isn't normal, and the body's gone, well, what's going on? So the big question, should you scratch an itch?
Yeah.
Because now sometimes scratching is fun. And sometimes it's, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, just, you know, like you and Dwayne, just down there, bit to the left.
Okay. But I said nose, by the way, Adam, not down there.
Sometimes you've got to be careful because it can actually, if you've got a skin itching, say, through eczema or something, scratching can irritate it more. Or scratching can, if you've got a little bit of dirt under your fingernails, increase the infection in the area. But the way that scratching works, is this is really cool. You sort of think, I'm itchy, so I scratch it and that takes the itch away.
Yeah.
But actually, scratching introduces a pain response that distracts your brain from the itch and your brain stops thinking about the itch.
Wow. Aren't we cleverly made?
Yeah. In your case, with I would think if you were driving along and really itching on the nose, if you bit the inside of your cheek really hard, if you're ever about to sneeze and you're really in a situation where you can't sneeze, bite your lower lip or bite the inside of your cheek enough to cause a bit of pain, and often your brain goes, "Well, what was that?" And it forgets about the sneeze, which is not as important an order of registration of sense as over the pain. Wow. So, yeah, a pain response can distract you sometimes from an itch. So I haven't tried it, but if you've got that real itch on your nose, you could think it away maybe, but if you caused yourself a little, if you pinched yourself on the leg or if you bit really hard on the inside of your cheek, there's a good chance your brain would sense that pain reaction and then you'd stop thinking about the itch.
Well, it's really interesting you say that because I couldn't physically get to the itch, it took a few minutes, but it eventually did go away. But I was thinking, and that's the truth, I was thinking about, well, this is a question for Adam.
Yeah.
So maybe the pain of thinking of you drove it away. I don't know.
There you go. To anyone listening now, if you've got a really irritating itch during the course of the day, just think of me, preferably naked, and it'll go away. But it's one of the, and itching's one of those things that you don't think about it. But in the course of having this conversation with you, I realised that like 5 or 6 times I've just stopped and quickly run the finger up to scratch. It's one of those things you're doing all the time.
Without thinking of it,
absolutely. Like if you never think that you blink. If you stop and watch someone for a while and realise how often they blink and then realise, wow, I blink just as we've got all these bodily processes. The brain is amazing, just processing these millions of inputs all the time. You don't even realize how regularly you scratch yourself just for a couple of seconds to get rid of a minor itch, but you have to be careful. In the worst case scenarios, scratching can make the itch worse.
Amazing.
Yeah, we've learned something today for
totally.
Sure.
Totally. Thank you, Adam. Always a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
No trouble at all. And Steve, if you're at home having a little scratch as we speak, I'll speak to you again soon, my friends.
Good on you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
There's Adam Spencer, Ambassador for Maths and Science at the University of Sydney. That all makes total sense, doesn't it?
It does.